What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, we all know the feeling. Tech, which was touted as a way of helping us free up time, is now bombarding us with messages, mail and reminders of what we need to do and get done. Being busy is causing us stress. Is there a way out? My next guest thinks there is. I'm delighted to welcome Chris Griffiths. He's the co-author of The Focus Fix, Finding Clarity, Creativity and Resilience in an Overwhelming World. Chris, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. It's always a pleasure.
Now, I suppose we all have this problem, Chris. Technology was meant to make life easier for us. We're now connected to everybody. We've access to everything. And we're distracted massively, particularly by our cell phone, our smartphone. And we more and more tend to live our lives through our phones.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, do you know, we're the first generation really that's had to deal with this. So there's a lot that we don't know. And today we're so constantly afflicted by the sort of digital noise that we get at work and at home, the emails, notifications, absolute chaos in terms of electronic bombardment, that a lot of people have reached boiling point and they haven't really realized it. So this slow creep of technology, which can advance us so much, has certainly got a lot to answer for, because if we're not sure how to control it, then it starts controlling us. We start to become reactive rather than proactive. And it's something that we really have to make a concerted effort to overcome, because if we don't, it's really going to impact us negatively.
I suppose you and I are of a particular era, maybe, where, you know, you came into work with a to-do list, you ticked it off, and you tried to get through as many of the items on your to-do list as possible. Is there an argument now with that kind of thinking that we try and deal with all communications instantly, and this is leading to this overwhelmification, which I know isn't really a word, but it does sum it up, does it not?
Oh, I think, you know, overwhelm is the thing that's really impacting people's mental health in a negative way, because, you know, things were very different before the use of technology became so 24/7. People actually had time to think, and that was important. You know, you talk about tasks, Bobby, and today a lot of people will manage their tasks at work using technology, and that's supposed to make us more productive. I mean, you know, why wouldn't it? You can capture all of your to-dos electronically. But what tends to happen is that people start to get overwhelmed because there's just so many tasks to do. So they just move from one to the next. And what they start suffering from is a thinking error, which is called busy fool syndrome. They just become so attuned to having to do things quickly that they don't do the right things.
Right. One of the stats that I saw in your piece, Chris, is that it takes the average person 23 minutes to refocus after being distracted. Right now, if we put that into practice and we look at the amount of times that we pick up our phone during the day, particularly from when you wake up, you might even have an alarm on your phone to wake you up. So if you're going to have to recover, like if you're doing something and you get derailed and it takes you 23 minutes to get back on track, that's very unproductive, is it not?
It is, and I feel it's getting worse, because people, when they're looking for entertainment and they're looking to fill their downtime, are using social media, they're using video shorts to get that burst of dopamine that they need. And the problem is that isn't real life. Obviously, when we need to focus, sometimes we have to give ourselves time to think. We have to allow our minds to wander and not rush it. Let me ask you, Bobby, you know, when you're trying to solve a problem, where do you do your best thinking?
I actually was thinking about this when I was reviewing your book. And, you know, I know you suggest that creative daydreaming is a good thing. So when I go running, I listen to music and my mind wanders, and I do the most amazing daydreaming when I'm running. It's a time that I really, really appreciate and worship it.
And that is so true. And everyone knows this, of course, because, you know, I go all around the world and I've worked with people from Nobel laureates to royal families to young children. And you can always get the same response in terms of, you know, where do you do your best thinking? How do you solve business problems? No one ever says to me, oh, in the boardroom or when I'm really focusing hard on something. It's always when they're doing something that allows the mind to wander. Going for a walk in nature, going for a run, going to the gym, going to the toilet even. So we kind of all know intuitively that to solve problems, we need to allow the brain to wander, connect ideas. But we're actually taught at a young age that daydreaming is bad. So, you know, you don't want to be the child in the classroom that's daydreaming at the back of the room because you know what's going to happen. If we were actually proactive, we'd be teaching the children how to daydream, but how to daydream with focus. Because if you just look at the great inventors, the successful entrepreneurs of the world, whilst they might not call it daydreaming, they might call it visualization, they just might call it the ability to capture ideas. Effectively, that's what they're doing. They're allowing their mind to wander, but with focus on what they're trying to achieve. So they're not thinking about the holiday or other sort of nice things. They're actually just trying to solve a problem using their brain. I suppose, you know, if you went back in time, a really concrete example of that would be Einstein's theory of relativity. There's no way you can prove these things. There's no way you can prove the curvature of space-time using a daydream to do it. And obviously
he did. And I met a man 2 weeks ago on this show, a chap called Shane Craddock, and he has this theory of the outdoor office. And I went and did the interview with him in Mount Usher Gardens, a beautiful gardens down in Wicklow. And it was really, really, it really inspired me to thinking that getting outside and doing some of your work outside in a beautiful place is a really good thing to do.
Shane is, you know, 100% right. And this is where in sort of today's working environments, leaders need to change considerably, and they need to change quickly. We have to look at where we are, and I'm not a futurologist, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be 100% right on this next one. AI and automation is going to change the world faster than we've ever seen at any time previously. It's really going to change everything. So it's going to be positive, and there's going to be a lot of negativity around it. Yes, people will have to change what they do. It's not the AI that's going to replace their jobs. It's the people that are using AI that's going to replace their jobs. But the really positive side of this is that AI and automation is going to free up time for people to be more creative, to think more, to daydream. AI can't do that. AI can connect information, and it can do the sort of heavy lifting for us. It can reduce the cognitive load. It can make us experts almost instantly, but it's still human intuition that is going to drive creativity and advancement. So, you know, going back to what you were saying about Shane, all the workplaces need to be adjusting for this now. So, when we look at sort of globally, 1/5 of employees don't feel engaged at work. I mean, that's crazy. Sorry, no, I've even got that. That's wrong. Sorry. 1/5 of employees feel engaged at work. That means that most people aren't engaged at work anymore. So what's the best way you can make them feel engaged? And obviously one of those ways is to give them more creative freedom. I mean, if somebody allows you to be creative, you feel good about it. I mean, everyone feels good when they're trying to solve a problem or be creative. And creating work environments, whether it's in nature, whether it's offices that allow sort of freedom of movement, is absolutely important. But it's even more important that the leaders, you know, do allow their members to sometimes put their feet up on the desk and actually think about problems rather than just reacting to the emails and the tasks that are coming through.
Yeah. Chris, one of the things you say to relieve techno stress, which I think is a term for this overwhelming technology bombarding us every day, you say that it's a bad idea to respond immediately to every query or every interaction. So how should we do that? So should we just get back to people in chunks of our day? Is that one of the things you're saying, that you allow an hour in the morning and in the evenings for emails and you stay away from them for the rest of the day?
If you were to look at, you know, a human being and say, what is the most valuable work that you do? It would be thinking. Thinking is definitely the highest paid and most valuable work anyone can do. So anything that takes you away from that is obviously negatively impacting you. So by putting some boundaries around how you respond instantly to emails, to notifications, allows you to think in a much better way. I think there was a story. I know it. But the first time Bill Gates and Warren Buffett met at a dinner, they were asked to each separately write down one word that would determine whether somebody was successful or not. And they couldn't see what each other were writing. They both wrote down the word. And when they flipped over the card, the word was the same. It was focus. So the number if the number one reason for success is people focusing on things of sort of high potential consequence, the number one reason for people failing is because they're focusing on things of low consequence. Now, if you're just responding to things really quickly as they come through, you're not really identifying what's important. You're just trying to clear the inbox. You're just trying to be polite. But if you start to put structure behind that and say, well, you know, I will check my emails between these times each day, or you don't even have to specify a specific time of day. It might be when your energy levels, you know, feels right to do so. Maybe in the morning, you just want to focus on a few things that you will feel really good about if you complete before you start responding to notifications. Because, you know, the biggest issue with responding quickly to emails and notifications is you end up in this endless loop of people feeling they have to do the same thing. And then it just, by the end of the day, you haven't got anywhere near to clearing the inbox.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I'm getting techno stress even thinking about it. And my guest is Chris Griffiths, co-author of The Focused Fix, Finding Clarity, Creativity and Resilience in an Overwhelming World. Great to talk to you this morning, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Likewise, Bobby. Always great to talk.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.